Congratulations! You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
On the show today, we have Ruby Macoma. Is it Macoma? Is that how you say the name?
Yeah.
Cool. Ruby Macoma, who is here to
talk about
the Tupuna Talk Workshop at the New Zealand Young Writers Festival, which is happening very, very soon. I believe it's happening, in fact, this weekend. How are you doing this morning, Ruby?
Good. Outside the beautiful Wharekai at Pukitiraki, out in Pukitiraki. Beautiful day here. The team, our incredible rangatahi kaituhi, are inside the wharenui doing some creative workshops at the moment. So we're in the full swing of the New Zealand Young Writers Festival and are excited to head down to Te Whare o Rikitia later today to start the more traditional festival programming from tomorrow onwards. So yeah, mm-hmm. Doing good.
Going to be very, very exciting. Now, you're a pretty prolific writer. That is, that's your main thing. Do you write on paper these days, or are you exclusively on the digital?
I want to say that I'm across both because it feels like the right thing to say, but I definitely am predominantly writing online, editing, I guess, because I'm writing but also editing and working with lots of other people's work, which is a massive blessing as well. Working online tends to be the way to streamline things at the moment, but would love to get back to writing regularly on paper soon.
Nice. It's such a calming exercise, you know, it's very nostalgic. It's good for your brain as well, it improves your fine motor skills.
Yes. And there is like I feel like the romanticness of writing, or the thing that people tend to cling to when they want to develop a writing practice, is always tied to writing on the page. But it's cool to be able to move between both.
It is. Now, I heard that you graduated yesterday, which is incredible, or a couple of days ago. Ka pai, what did you graduate with?
I did law and arts. It had taken me ages, so I guess because I've been working full time, but doing various other side quests. So it's been a long time coming, which is why it was particularly sweet. But excited to be back in Auckland. I would say it was the fourth year I've been down here for the festival, so it feels like a real beautiful full circle moment in a lot of ways.
Awesome. That's awesome. Now, you do have a lot of side quests. You are a very busybody with your own creative endeavors, but you're also using creativity to help rehabilitate incarcerated young people through the outreach program Te Kahui. You've been managing the program since 2020. How has it been in 2025?
I've been managing it since beginning of last year.
Oh, right.
But involved in various capacities since 2020. Okay. It's an incredible kaupapa. Kind of one of its kind in a lot of ways. Doing poetry and rap and songwriting and short story programs in my presence across the motu. It's a very clear kaupapa, but I think given the changes in arts funding and in the last few years, like many other arts-related kaupapa, working with young people that are facing systemic barriers to arts engagement. My only hope is that the program continues to thrive and to exist as well.
Cool. For those who might be asking why the New Zealand Young Writers Festival is in Ōtipoti, Dunedin, and not Tamaki Makaurau or Poneke, which certainly have bigger media infrastructure than here. Could you tell us why it's here and not in those major population centres?
It started down here with the founders. I believe Anthony is a based creative. But I think also given the fact that there are already major writing festivals in Tamaki Makaurau and Poneke, it's important that we're able to spread
creative opportunities across the country, right? And so there are incredible kaitahiranga into Waipounamu. We've got kaitahi from Kirikiriroa, from Auckland, from Punikia, from Ōtautahi, from all over here this weekend. And so, you know, the fact that I think it really is intentionally an Ōtautahi-based kaupapa sets it apart from other creative festivals and programs in the country. So yeah, there's a preciousness to Ōtautahi, and something we really want to honour in having it here each year.
Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, Dunedin is kind of renowned for its literature as well, right?
Yeah, City of Literature. Hone Tuwhare was based as a writer here for a very long time. And also there's the Dunedin Readers and Writers Festival, which is later in October. So just this kind of two-month bubbly hub of creative opportunities for young people, but also for established writers down here as well. Makes it a really special place.
For sure. It is great, and it's cool to see the history, the literary history, engraved into the octagon. There's little plaques that tell you all about the different writers in one of the octagon steps. It's really awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, last year...
I was just going to say, I guess even on the periphery of like arts festivals and arts programming, there's places like yours, Ōtautahi, and Woof, and like lots of other little pockets of cool, creative community around Ōtautahi that really feed into the festival as well. And so as much as the festival is, you know, located at Te Whare o Rikitia, I guess the benefit of it being in Ōtautahi is that you're in close proximity to lots of other exciting, innovative, young creatives,
Totally. It's a very creative little city. Now, last year, you were the guest curator of the New Zealand Young Writers Festival. You were also their writer in residence in 2023. How have those opportunities improved your writing or editing craft? You know, what did they tell you? What did they teach you?
So much. I've been super, super lucky to be a part of the festival for the last 4 years. Going from a micro-resident in 2022 and then the write-in-residence where so much of that month at the Robert Lord Writers Cottage in Ōtautahi, I actually just spent getting to know the creative scene down here, right? Spending time at yours, spending time at the university, spending time with people like Stacey Kokawa and the Pasifika, beautiful Pasifika writing community down here. I think that experience emphasized the importance of creative community. It also helped, gave me the time and space to kind of draft my chapbook, which came out last year. And then I think in the last year and a half, I've really leaned into and been passionate about, you know, arts management, like what it means to facilitate opportunities for other people to develop their work. And so that's why the curator role and the skills associated with that were super valuable at the time that they came. And yeah, to be Tuakana this year as well feels like a really beautiful full circle, where it's less of a less logistics and more like what does it mean to holistically support kaitahirangatahi today.
Mean. Awesome. This year you're running the Tupuna workshop at the New Zealand Young Writers Festival, where attendees explore how their Tupuna ancestor narratives shape them as kaituhi or writers. What kind of ancestral narratives do you draw from when you're writing, and how do you do so?
That's such a cool part. I think being... having whakapapa across, predominantly far north, but to also like Rotuma and Scotland and Germany as well. I think the way that I've looked to Tupuna informing my writing is in the tension between like the beautiful nexus between Atua and Tangata, but even just being in the thing of the diaspora and what does it mean to uplift stories from a place and like disperse them across the world. A lot of the tūpuna that I look to are, yeah, Napui tūpuna. I think that's grounded my writing practice in ways that I wouldn't have anticipated several years ago. And so basically what that workshop is aiming to do is go, regardless of whether you're Māori, you know, of like Tangata Moana, wherever you're from, there are ancestral narratives that have curated a storytelling ethic. If you know that, that's mean. If you don't know that, papai, you know, the workshop will kind of facilitate an exploration of that. And then how can we draw parallels between the ways in which our ancestors' story told and our current writing practice? Knowing that, I mean, especially for Indigenous writers, their ancestors' storytelling modalities were likely not writing. You know, it might have been pūraka, it might have been whakairo, it might have been just singing. You know, like the ways that we tell stories is so expensive. And so just... The workshop is basically to re-emphasize that and to explore the expensiveness of storytelling and expensiveness of storytellers that are grounded in the place that they come from.
And that's so fascinating. I'm really trying to think, if I was a writer, how would I explore that my ancestral narrative is coming from, like, Scotland, Poland, God knows where else. But I think the Scottish thing would be much easier to draw upon. I don't know much about Poland.
But it's really cool, because in, you know, thinking about that, we all come from somewhere. Your ancestral narratives are such a deeply personal thing, but also, you know, it's important in doing any kind of, like, decolonial work as well, to think about the fact that, you know, and I also have Pākehā whakapapa, and also whakapapa to Scotland. The richness of Scottish narratives as well is something I feel like we don't talk about as much. In Aotearoa. So, yeah, what does it mean to draw on the strands of whakapapa to really think critically about our storytelling today?
Completely. Yeah. And I think for any, for all attendees, especially Pākehā, I think it'll encourage them to reflect on their own family history if they haven't already. And I think that is such a beautiful thing to do, because whoever you are, you should know where you come from. And I think... I don't know, the whole construction of whiteness is sort of built around actually destroying, like, European subcultures. And and so it's great to bring those back, because they should be celebrated, because they're a part of history. This artificial construction of whiteness is just this weird, horrible tool that's being used to hurt everyone. That's my two cents.
No, but it's such an interesting thing to think about. And I hear lots of Pākehā, Kaituhi, like, express that they feel really anxious about the idea of looking at, ancestors as a concept, right? When there's such richness and depth that can come from thinking of lineages, regardless of what culture or worldview they're tied to. Knowing that your storytelling has been influenced by something, it comes from somewhere, and is going somewhere, or it's contributing to a storytelling whakapapa, a storytelling lineage that will live far long, you know, long after you die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's like an obligation and a preciousness in that. You know, you are contributing to something bigger than yourself. Writing is both, it can be a silo practice, but it can also be such a powerful way to connect people.
Completely.
So I think it's like marrying that physical writing practice with a sense of, like, ownership and empowerment and obligation in writing, which can sometimes be forgotten about.
Mm-hmm. Whenever you put something to paper, you're joining the ranks of millions of people who have come before you, and putting their thoughts down as well, and adding your nuance to the human tapestry of history.
yes.
There we go.
Yes.
Alrighty, thank you for coming on, Ruby. I really appreciate your time. Have you got any final words for our lovely listeners?
No, but team, come through the New Zealand Young Writers Festival, Te Whare O Rikitia, Saturday and Sunday this week. It's going to be a beautiful, nourishing space, and we can't wait to see you there.
Fantastic stuff. Alrighty, thank you so much for coming on, Ruby, and I hope you have a safe travel. and that Otipoti treats you well while you're here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. All right, folks, that was Ruby Makoma. We're talking to her about her Tupuna Talk workshop, which is at Te Whare Orakutia this Saturday and Sunday. Go check it out. You can find more details about it online. Coming up.
That was a Radio 191 FM podcast. Find more at r1.co.nz.